When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hey guys, let me get you off to the right start on your online dating journey. And it is going to be a journey. Boy, do I promise you that. But do you want that journey to be a little less painful? Well, go to kristencarney.com/datinghelp and I can help make that possible. I can help power up your dating profile. I can help fine tune your banter skills, which will take you to the next level and get you the girl that you want. So go to kristencarney.com/datinghelp. That's kristencarney.com/datinghelp.
Want to know the hidden meaning behind what women say and do? Then check out The Chictionary. It's the Wing Girl Method's manual that gives you a full rundown of all the things women say that confuse men, written in dictionary format. Go get a copy of The Chictionary by going to winggirlmethod.com/chick. That's winggirlmethod.com/chick. Coming up on this week's episode of the Ask Women podcast, we have Tori on our show, who is a trauma expert. She helps people identify past traumas. And trauma doesn't mean what you think it means. It can be little things that are affecting your dating life, little things that are affecting how you interact with women, how you approach women, how you talk to women, how you state your intent, why you're getting into the friend zone. So we talk about how to identify these traumas and then how to wipe them clean. So keep listening because it's a really, really great episode.
Welcome back to another episode of the Ask Women podcast. I'm Kristen Carney, one of your hosts here, of course, with Marnie Kinross. And today we have a trauma specialist, which is going to be so helpful, I think, for you guys just listening to the show in general, because you're going to need healing after you listen to our show in general. But Tori Helf is here. She is a transformation babe and a trauma specialist. I know those sound two very different things, but Tori's here to tell us all about it and that kind of stuff.
Well, hey, hi, Tori. Thank you for being on the show, Transformation Babe. I think that's fantastic.
Well, hello, Marnie. It is so amazing to be here and to share everything I've learned over the years with you guys. I do have 3 degrees in psychology, so that's how I became the Transformation Babe.
That's how crazy you are. 3 degrees in psychology. You can just get one? That's insane.
One is plenty. One's too much, even.
One is too many, but I was really looking for how do we help people be better, not just what's wrong with you. And so that's why I kept going. I was looking for the answer.
Yeah, I love that you can't find that with one psychology degree. You're like, no, this isn't the answer.
It's true.
It's really challenging to make people better. I think that's proof that that is a thing.
It's hard. Is it tough? It takes a lot of work. So tell us, from your 3 degrees, how do we make people better and why are they not better already? What has happened to them that's caused this imperfection or lack of being the best version of themselves?
Yeah, I think on the deeper level, we all know what our better self can be and we know what we strive to be. But I believe personally that we have a lot of difficulty in things that happen to us and we don't really know how those things affect us. It's easy to go ahead.
It's so weird that you're saying this right now because this is not huge trauma. And before we started taping, you said little things around the house perhaps that could have caused some trauma that we're not even recognizing. But I just found out that I have this little thing wrong with my eye and I can't wear contacts for the next month. And so I wear contacts constantly. And when I don't wear them, I cannot see anything. And I just took a shower, which is a whole feat in itself. But while I was in the shower, it was so strange because I couldn't see anything. And I
And I recalled, this is probably what I saw as a kid every time I bathed, or, you know, that's maybe why I don't love to shower. I can't see in there. And it's very traumatizing. I think as a little kid, it would have been pretty upsetting, because it's even upsetting as an adult. And so I just was thinking, wow, this was such a minor thing, but I wonder how much it affected me.
Absolutely. Because think about the fear as a child. We don't really have a full-grown mind when we're little. That's why we believed things like ginormous bunnies would hop into our home and leave a basket. So we have to
see what happens when you have three psychology degrees. You ruin people's dreams.
And when you have no eyesight, you just think that's actual bunnies.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm just so open.
Yeah. Well, so I wanted you to speak to the guys who are listening to our show, because the main goal of our show is to help them interact, approach, talk to women, date women, love women, mm-hmm. be with women, go through battles with women, and come out good on the other side. how may some of these small traumas affected these men in their later years, if some of them are having some difficulty with approaching or putting their real intentions out there? What are some traumas that could have happened to them in their youth that would have resulted in this happening?
Yeah, I'll kind of just start and like redefine trauma for people, because we all know that like the combat soldier or the person who worked in Syria has trauma, right? But we forget that trauma happens to all of us, our friends, our families, our neighbors. And it can be these small things. We've defined trauma as a difficult parental divorce.
I genuinely find small little tasks to be traumatic. Like if I go to Walmart, I'm like, oh my God, this is so traumatizing. And then I feel bad for the rest of the day. I'm not even kidding.
Walmart is kind of traumatizing.
It is.
it's like a fight to get in and get out and get the things you need.
Well, the outfits, I mean, it just, yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like Afghanistan, obviously. I'm kidding.
It's our version of it, luckily, in the Western world.
Right.
No, but you're pointing out something interesting, that like you can still feel trauma even though it's something as simple as going to Walmart. These things happen within your body, either consciously or subconsciously, that are affecting you later on.
And that's a really important part, like point right there, Marnie, is that it gets stored in the body. So we know this through neuro research. Let's say you have a mother who is really critical and talks down to you all the time. Well, you re-experience that trauma over and over, and it actually starts to retrain your nervous system and your mental wiring to be fearful. So that could show up later as being fearful to talk to women, or even attracting women who do the same behaviors. It can go either way. Each person is a little bit unique in that. So
Is it that they fear women are going to talk down to them if they're just being themselves? Or I guess it manifests differently for each person, right?
It could manifest differently for each person, but there are some pretty common themes. So what has been done to us, sometimes we will recreate the exact situation and then wonder why we always attract those people.
Yeah.
Or another way to deal with it is just to avoid it altogether. So it might be avoiding dating because I've had so many bad experiences, and now I just see that as a difficult thing that no matter what I do, it doesn't feel like it's working out.
Interesting. Okay. This is really interesting. So I have
dating trauma, and I actually have a tweet that I haven't tweeted yet. It's a draft, but it's saying how I'm so traumatized by just regular dating that if I was actually like assaulted or something by a man, I don't even know what we would call that, because the simplest, most pure form of dating is traumatizing to me.
It's dramatic enough.
It is. It really genuinely is.
It can be. You go out and put yourself out there. There's a lot of vulnerability in dating and walking up to someone, especially for our male counterparts, right? And each time we get a little bit more beat down. So that starts to form our belief system around what is normal. And we actually internalize it in our body.
So how do you alter this? I'm not going to give away all your goodies, but I want you to help people. Okay, give away your goodies. Tell me exactly how do people get rid of this trauma that either they're aware of or not aware of?
So that's the key. The first one is we have to become aware of what are those things. And so I love to take people through a little process. And I will start looking at what are the behaviors you don't like that are holding you back from maybe love. And so they would write like, you know, I have trouble approaching women, or when I get into a relationship, I seem to sabotage it. So we'd focus on the behavior. And then under that behavior, what are the thoughts that lead you to do that? And so you start whittling it down. Like, okay, so I have these thoughts. I think, oh, she's going to do this, or she's going to reject me. Okay, what was the first time you felt rejected? And start bringing awareness to those patterns, those things that you're doing now. If we can get underneath each of them, we'll start to see like, oh, I remember this thing that happened back way back when, either with my parents, my family, my friends even, where I felt really rejected. And on some level, we're protecting ourselves from that rejection again. So that self-awareness of taking yourself through that process is the first step.
Okay. And what's step number two?
And then step number two would be, once you figure out what it is, decide what level of support you're going to need. So if you've uncovered something like physical, mental, or sexual trauma, obviously that's going to need to, there's going to be therapy there. You know, you will need to find someone who's qualified to do that. If you're just finding that there's like limiting beliefs or difficulties, then you can find someone to talk to about it who you feel safe with. You can find a coach to support you to move through that. And the third thing is, you must find connection. That's actually how we heal trauma, is through safe connection with other people. And what most people do who've had trauma, particularly the bigger traumas, is we actually avoid connection. And it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy of not healing it. So this can be friends. This can be learning how to get into a love relationship in a positive way. It's reaching out for help, asking, which most of us are super uncomfortable doing, right?
The last thing we want to do is... Can you explain that a little bit more? So let's say you are afraid to get into a relationship. So then how do you move past that trauma while in a relationship? Is it just talking to your partner about the things that are going on for you and the things that you're discovering about yourself to hear what they have to say?
It would be great to bring those things up and let them know. Like if you can, because I've been married for 15 years and I actually come from a lot of trauma. I didn't end up in this work by accident. You know, I was born, both my parents were addicts. My mom was actually in heroin rehab when I was born. So
that's crazy.
I've had an incredible journey of getting myself to 3 degrees and living in Newport Beach, California with a healthy husband. So when I talk about this, I talk about it with so much compassion and knowing that it's not a single path, like you're going to have those step backs, but being able to communicate with your partner, you know, this has happened to me. And sometimes when you say X, I feel Y, like being honest about it. Like when you talk to me that way, it gets me upset, not because you've done something wrong, but because that hit something in me. Can we not go there?
Okay.
So it's not really like, not necessarily protecting the wound, like you're not going to heal it because you have to work on it. Like, think of it as like a sliver, right? You've got this thing that bothers you. It really has nothing to do with your partner, but when they press on it, you get upset. It's painful.
Yeah. Well, actually, that leads me to my next question, because I was working with a client the other day who listens to our podcast, and he was like, oh, can you talk about how to soothe yourself in the moment and calm yourself down? And I was like, oh, we have a trauma expert coming up next week on our show. Yes, of course, we can totally bring that up. So what you were just talking about, calmly saying that to your partner. Most often when you're triggered, you're not able to be rational. So how do people actually soothe themselves in the moment? So for example, if a guy has approach anxiety, right? And he is freaking out or trapped in his head and can't think of a thing to say, he has that floaty feeling in his head, nervous feeling in his stomach. How does he calm himself down in that moment?
So the most proven way to do this is actually learn how to do deep breath work. So deep belly breath work. It's the only thing that connects the conscious and the subconscious mind. You cannot get out of your head through your mind. You have to get out of your head through your body.
Or
so you have to physically... That's true. Drugs have their own place.
That is an awesome.
But if you want an easier non-habit forming way to walk in and feel comfortable, learning how to do that deep breath. So I've also studied yoga and meditation for 20 years. I'm certified in all of that. And the East has much better answers for this than we do in the West. So practicing taking that deep belly breath and walking away, giving yourself space, especially if you're upset or you're anxious, like holding yourself in especially if you have social anxiety, right? The thing most people do is they beeline for the bar. It yes. would be better to stand outside, give yourself a couple minutes, think of what are a couple of things I could talk about to a woman, which you help people with, Marnie, as well. You know, both of you do this, right? You give people those openings. So practice it in your mind. See it going well, just like we do with athletes, right? We do the visualization. And always come back to your breath. You can even like clasp your hands together, do something to bring yourself back into your body. You can rub your palms together, bring something back to the physical and the presence. Because the thing you're afraid of is the thing you're making up in your head.
Right. Is there a way to do this where it wouldn't look like you're doing this? Like, is this all very subtle where it wouldn't bring more anxiety? Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. So
like
that's
you're talking to a woman. How do you click your heels together, rub your hands and breathe without her saying like, what the hell's wrong with this guy?
Yeah.
Taking
and
the
then
deep
she's
breath.
Think he is on drugs. So he yeah, should have taken the drugs in the first place.
Right. Yes. So that was for more like the rubbing your hands together, doing something physical would be more for when you're not in front of the woman. When you're in front of the woman, that is when you just rely on your breath and bring yourself back to the present and focus on her. If you're anxious, you're thinking about yourself and how you look.
Right.
So get focused on her and be curious.
I remember in acting school, they would always say, don't act, react. And so you have to actually listen to what people are saying to get in the moment. And I would imagine it's the same with the dating stuff.
It is. Like, think about that. When we're nervous and we're having social anxiety and we're worried, it's because we're thinking about us. It's normal. And even with public speaking, right? We start to think about ourselves and I'm like, am I going to mess up? Am I going to stutter? What am I going to do wrong? And then if you want someone to like you back, that's 10 times. That's completely normal. That means you care. That's a good thing. So care about them.
What if the girl is not saying anything? Like, I know you said to react and listen. So what if she's not saying anything and she's waiting for the guy to say something? Since he's the one who approached.
Totally. He might want to call it out and be like, wow, this would be the place for the insert joke. Like, wow, I'm just staring at you and I'm at a loss for words.
I like that.
So, calling it out, nobody can call you out.
Yes, you take away power when you put it out there first, you take away their ability to hold something over you in a way.
Exactly. Even laughing and be like, wow, I don't even know what to say to you right now. I'm so stunned. You know, like a woman would be very intrigued by that. Like, wow, he's honest. He actually like called it out. It's much more awkward to just sit there and stare.
Yeah. Well, and then it calms you down. I have this article and I have it in a couple of programs too about announcing the elephant. It was like one of the first things that I had learned when I started doing some coaching. And I told guys how important it was that as soon as you announce the elephant in the room, you'll calm down. You will calm down immediately. The longer that you're not trying to hide something or cover something up.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, let's dig in a little bit more into you, Tori, if you're open to it. I know that you have been in a relationship for 15 years, but I'd love if you can try to remember a little bit about yourself and dating when you were dating, because I know that a lot of guys, everybody's experienced trauma, right? So a lot of women have experienced trauma, some severe, some not so severe, but a lot of guys are
80% of people have experienced some form of childhood trauma.
I'm sure it's way more than that for sure.
Yeah.
That causes them to behave in a certain way. So how do guys sort of announce the elephant about trauma when interacting with women? So like, how do they bring it up as something that they recognize to bring them closer together? Or how do they recognize when that is going on? Like, I guess I'm asking, how do you date somebody that's been through trauma? Do people who have had trauma date differently?
They can.
Extreme trauma,
we're going to see some avoidance. So when things get difficult emotionally or they feel unsafe, they're going to want to like take off more. So this might be the person who leaves everyone before they leave them.
Right.
And so that's more of our typical, but this goes back to kind of, especially in psychology, what we call attachment theory, meaning how we attach to our mothers is ultimately how we'll attach to all people on the planet. It's a very interesting theory, but there's a few types. So we're either avoidant, securely attached, which is ideal, anxiously attached, or we kind of go between a couple of them, right? So we're kind of confused. We don't know what way to go. So that can definitely show up in dating. I think women love to give like women who have that kind of healer tendency to them or want to take care of the men they're with, sometimes they love when they feel like the man they're with has got these things going on and they feel like they can fix it. So what I would love to see men do is A, ensure that the woman that they're with has earned the right to hear their trauma, that they feel safe sharing that with her.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't need to be something that happens right away.
Okay.
And then when they're feeling safe to tell them, right? It doesn't, you know, not like they've been dating for 5 years, but let's say they've been dating a couple of months and this woman has shown herself worthy of hearing their backstory, especially if it affects intimacy, right? That's another big way that trauma can affect us is maybe he doesn't feel as affectionate as he wanted to be, or he doesn't own, you know, it doesn't own his sexuality the way he would want to or show up in that way. That could also be another way that he could call it out and be like, you know, well, I've had these past experiences and that's affected me in this way, but I'm working through it. So owning it is a powerful
thing. Well, let's flip it on to you. Can you tell me about you when you were dating? Yeah. And like things that you would do, people that you would be attracted to.
Well, first of all, I was a world-class runner.
Wow.
At the first sign of a problem in a relationship, I would, like the roadrunner, like take off.
Oh, okay. Really?
Marnie thought you meant actual runner.
I know. Oh, I'm like, that's amazing. Three degrees of world-class runner. Amazing.
No, I didn't. I meant running away from men.
Yeah. Okay.
No, Unfortunately, I don't physically run unless you're chasing me. I'm much more of a yogi. But yeah, there was a lot of interesting things that had come up. You know, I had a hard time in dating. I would get into relationships quickly and get out of them just as quickly. So it'd be like I'd jump into the pool and then quickly get out of it. And it was not something I recognized in myself. Even when I was starting college, I didn't know how badly I had done that. And I didn't recognize that having an unhealthy childhood had set me up for all these interesting things in my marriage. But he had the complete opposite childhood, which a very secure attachment. So he was able to actually ground me. So that's one thing. If you have a lot, sometimes we tend to find another person who is the same or opposite. Ideally, someone has a little bit more grounded than you. Because if you're both running away from each other, it's not going to last too long.
Right. Well, so I kind of had a similar thing too. Like I would get into something fast and then I would run away really fast and be over it. And I'm sure that was some sort of trauma or some sort of protective mechanism, or maybe just I had something that I was excited about and then I wasn't so excited. I'm not really sure, to be honest. But is there a way that a guy could have stopped you from running? Like, or was it just that you hadn't worked through your stuff yet? But like, is there a way that he could have done what your husband did at an earlier age for you to make you not run away?
Correct. I mean, it's definitely 50-50. It always is in a relationship, but we each have to take responsibility for ourselves and know that some women are just going to run and it's nothing to do with you. I dated some really nice guys and I just wasn't ready. And I was also young. I mean, we're all kind of a mess in our 20s, but...
Right. But were you just not that into those people, do you think? Or was it that you just ran?
I think I just ran. I think I had some really nice people that I had dated, but I was terrified of getting hurt. And so I would run. And we all do something like that in a different way. And I want to make sure that this is not a bad thing. It's literally like a survival tactic is the best way to think of it, right? We don't know any better until we start to see the pattern. So it can be a pattern to where I attract people that run away, or I am the one who runs away, or 50 other different ways that we do things. But once we see that and we see that, okay, I keep attracting these women that I either need to take care of or I need to save, or they keep leaving me. I always ask people to look at that within themselves. Are they doing that to others, or are they also doing that to themselves? So like betrayal is a big one. If you feel like you keep finding someone in your life, like let's say you feel like you keep being betrayed by the women you're dating. Well, have you betrayed anyone else, or are you betraying yourself by not asking for what you need in those relationships? So it's like, I'm always on the deep dive side of things, obviously.
Well, you have to be, I think, sometimes. For it's sure. So funny. I'm like going back through all my things now. And I found a common pattern. I don't really know where this is tied to in my role. Well, actually, I do know where it's tied to in my childhood. I used to run away from a lot of men. I didn't have crazy trauma in my childhood, but I like had my own version of trauma with parents who are wonderful, but not very emotional and expressive. Yeah. So that was traumatic for me because I'm quite expressive. And the guys that I would run away with, I run away from, were the ones that sort of didn't know how to hold on to me. And the ones, sorry, I'll go towards the ones that I stayed with. My husband and actually each of my boyfriends throughout my life, when I started to run away and distance myself, they would call it out and they would tell me what they thought about me and why. And that would make me stay. And then I liked them more. It was very interesting. They would call me out for running. And it wasn't in a harsh way. They would all sort of say, I know what you're doing, but I don't know why you're doing it. We're wonderful. And I'd be like, yeah, you're right. So it's interesting. Like I'm going through each one and each of them, except for one, did the exact same thing. So, I mean, trauma can present itself in so many different ways, but there are ways to kind of combat it. So for somebody that is a runner, I don't know if that would have been helpful for you to hear somebody say like, listen, I want you to stick around. That's one way to combat it.
For sure. And that's a good, and I've definitely seen that work in different couple, you know, people that I've worked with where they some people get more defensive when they get called out. So you kind of have to know your relationship. Like
right.
they'll be like, that's not true. And when they get defensive, it's really true.
Right.
So I think holding the space of saying, you know, I'm here. I understand you might be scared or I see you distancing yourself and I don't know why. So there's definitely a way of calling that out. I think my husband too, when we started dating, you know, he was just this very solid person. And he was very honest and he told me how I felt. And it was like, he was the grounding force in the relationship. He was very similar in the way of like, hey, if you're going to go, you're going to go, but I'm here and I'm interested. So I don't know why.
Yeah, that's what my husband did too. But like, well, why are you going? We're good. That's really interesting. Okay, I want to take a quick break and then I want Kristen to chime in, but we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with Tori, who is awesome. Not so traumatic, but very helpful to all of you guys and us. So we'll be back in a minute.
A friend of mine recently on Instagram posted a thing saying, I finally paid off my credit card bill after like 15 years. And she was so ecstatic and so happy. That can be you. And it can be a lot quicker than 15 years because with Lightstream, you can get a credit card consolidation loan with rates as low as 5.95% APR with autopay. That's lower than the average credit card interest rate of over 19% APR. Another awesome thing that would have helped my friend not take 15 years to pay off her credit card would be that the rate is fixed, so it'll never go up over the life of the loan. So get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000 with no fees. Underline that. Even though you can't see it typed out, I'm underlining it with my excitedness. No fees. And just for our listeners, you can apply now to get a special interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/askwomen. That's lightstream.com/askwomen.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Subject to credit approval, rate includes 0.5% autopay discount. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/askwomen for more information.
Hey guys, so it's summertime, and in the summertime, you know what people do? They tend to wear baseball hats. You know, casual cookout, throw on a baseball hat. Got out of the pool, throw on a baseball hat. And it's usually because you want to cover up what's going on underneath. And if there really isn't much going on underneath, and by not much, I mean not much hair, then you guys should check out 4hims.com. They connect you with real doctors and real medical grade solutions to treat hair loss. And it's great because there's no awkward in-person doctor visits, no long lines to deal with, no waiting room, all the good stuff. So order now because our listeners get a trial month of Hims for just $5 today, right now while supplies last. Check out their website for full details and safety information, but just know this would cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or pharmacy. Hundreds! Save those hundos for the dates, for the ladies. Now, go to 4hims.com/wants. That's FORHIMS.com/wants, FORHIMS.com/wants.
All right, we are back. And Kristen, you were about to say something, and I don't know if you've forgotten it now, but I know you wanted to chime in.
I probably did, even though the break was half a second. I did forget it. No, what I was going to ask was, is running away ever a sign that you're just not finding the right people? Is it always an avoidance thing?
It could be, but it's like asking yourself that deeper question. Like, are these good people? Am I listening to a red flag in my gut that this is not the right person for me to be with? Or am I actually afraid of getting hurt?
How do you decipher the two?
Would be like, how did someone treat you? Well, there's like two parts. This is actually a tricky question. This is a good question. Because, right, you could be seeing it through your skewed lens of the world that everyone is dangerous, right?
Right.
Or it could be that you didn't...
It's your gut.
It's your gut, exactly. So that is a level of maybe actually getting a reflection back from someone you trust. Hey, you know I'm dating this person. This is the way I'm feeling. Do you see that at all? Please be honest with me. Mm-hmm. If you're really unsure, because you need that outside. Sometimes you need people to reflect back to you what's actually going on, right? Because you can be like, oh, I'll give you guys an example of, you know, someone I dated before I got married, like another, like a year-long relationship. I would be like, he's so boring all the time. And then my friends would reflect back to me like, he's actually really nice. You're just so used to emotional chaos and crazy that you don't know what to do. And that was so true.
Yeah, your reality totally becomes different. It's almost like if you have like body dysmorphia, you look in the mirror and you see something and you're sure you see it one way, but in reality, it's not that way at all.
Absolutely. With body dysmorphia, it's like looking into a fun mirror, and we can do that with our whole life. Something that happened to us can actually color the lens in which we look at dating.
For sure. Well, I think Kristen's asking because she's not 100% sure, but I'm 100% sure she has been through crazy trauma over the past year and a half with the past relationship.
Yeah. Oh,
and she's not, I don't think you're really acknowledging it. Cause I think like you're saying that it's feeling empty to date for you right now.
Yeah.
So there's two things. Either you're not really feeling it for people or you've been through a trauma. Like your body's kind of shut down. I would be the exact same way.
Yeah.
100%. My body literally shut down after I went through a breakup and I had a stroke a year later. Like, and I was gone for the next year and a half, like shut off from everybody. Like nobody could do anything to please me, interest me. Like you just have to understand you've been through a traumatic experience.
Yeah. Almost dating right now is like after you drink and you never want to drink again. And then someone walks by with a drink and you're like, ew, I want to vomit. That's kind of how I feel about dating at the moment, but I feel pressure because I'm getting older. I'm 36. So I feel like, okay, well, if I want to have kids, I got to push this train along. And so I'm really having this like cognitive dissonance, I think, because I don't really want to be dating, but I'm forcing myself to date. And it's just probably creating a really bad, even worse scenario than it would have been, you know, with just my single trauma.
Because there's a huge inner conflict now.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And unfortunately, nothing will move forward, but give yourself the time you need, even though there is that pressure, you know, your age, it's still not,
lots and of it's my more most not really friends. Like, it's not so much for having babies. It's more like I'm going to be ugly soon. And so I need, before these wrinkles really set in, I need to find my guy. It's not the eggs going bad, really.
Okay.
It's
just that's
my,
good.
My face. More my face.
You know, we live in LA. So
you have more time, so you're fine. You're fine.
And never underestimate what another 3 months could do for you with some additional support.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. For sure. Like really diving into it. I want to get to some questions from our listeners. So if you guys are ready, let me know and I'll start asking questions.
Yeah. We are ready.
Okay, good. Hi, Marnie, Kristen, and guests. Love the podcast. Thank you for the knowledge. My question relates to the fact that I am attracted to intelligent women. Well, you have three of them right here. Well,
he's so turned on right now.
Hey. You don't know which two I'm talking about. Well, 3 degrees. I think we know which one. The problem with dating intelligent women, however, is that they tend to have a high income. I feel like we were at this one. God, it's not even working with these talks. A high income, and as a result, usually want to date a man who was on or near their level of income. At the moment, I work a low-paying government job and live with my parents. Whilst I get my business off the ground, this has put off the last two women I tried to date, as one was a surgeon and one was a lawyer. Does my current income really matter that much? What can I do to show these women I'm not intimidated by their intelligence, income, and I'm close to reaching my potential? I know that by the end of the year, I will be in a position to quit my job and move out of my parents' house. V from England. Thanks in advance.
I would say talk about your passion and your plan, because that excites an intelligent woman.
I think so too, but he is saying one is a surgeon and one is a lawyer. So he's dating these women for them to then say, this is an issue that it sounds like he's not just going on a date. It sounds like he's actually getting into a relationship with women.
Well, how is he getting dates with surgeons and lawyers to begin with? And I think whatever he's doing there, he can apply, right, to maybe moving further.
Right. But what I hear going on is that he has a plan, but it's not going anywhere. That, or at least that's what I'm hearing. Like, if he's actually getting... Yeah. So I think that to me, it sounds like these women are dating him. So he's doing something right. I think like working for the government is great. Like they can all be wonderful things. If you're highly intelligent, those things can, you know, attract another woman or a woman. But my guess is that he's getting in to dating women, like dating scenario where it's not just a one date and he's putting them off. It's that he's actually dating them. And then it seems like there's no movement, maybe. That's what I'm guessing.
It would be good to know how many dates does it take to get to this and how soon does he come out with the information? Because that's another thing,
right,
is to let people know right away. And it's a great way to suss out, is someone solely making decisions based on income? Because that's not really a great partner anyway.
I have the simplest answer for him. And you said he's in England. So if he wants to date intelligent women, just come to the United States, because we instantly orgasm
right,
when you
hear
your accent. Right.
That is true. Well, do you think that living with his parents is a big deal?
Yes. What's his age?
I think so too. I don't know what his age is, but if he's dating somebody who's an established surgeon and lawyer, that means he's somewhere
56,
in the 30s or 40s, or you know, category. So
84.
That means something. So women who are dating in 30s and 40s who have their shit together, they don't want to take care of another person. And that's the honest truth. This isn't about money per se. It's about taking care of somebody, unless there's a big reason that you're living with your parents. Are you taking care of them in their old age? Did you give up your home to go live with, like, there has to be reasons for it. Really?
I would bullshit a little bit. Yes, I would bullshit that my mom is sick. Oh, and I'm just a wonderful son. I have to be here. But, you know, as long as you're moving forward, maybe you can use that little fib for a little bit. I don't know. I mean, that's terrible.
I don't know about that. What if you go and meet the mother and you're like, wait a second, didn't you have cancer?
And she's like, caregiver. No. She survived.
Right.
I made her healthy again.
Yeah. He's really asking. He's asking, does my current income really matter that much? That's the big question. So Tori, what do you think? Do you think that his current income really matters that much to these women?
I think it
would. It matter to you?
It wouldn't, because I'm financially independent. But I mean, I don't even share money with my husband. Like, we have completely separate bank accounts.
Right.
Oh, wow.
So, okay. But I would be looking at, do I see movement? Do I see this man really taking action? And is he going to be out of his parents' house very soon? Because that could put a damping down the dating life there.
Yeah, it seems.
So do you think at this age you would date somebody who still lived with their parents?
I think I could be open to it only if, like you guys said, like there was some good reason. Like, let's say he's an entrepreneur, because I know a lot of entrepreneurs who like gave up everything to start multi-million-dollar companies.
Right.
That would be different. If I saw the passion, the drive, and I knew he had something great going, I would be interested. But, you know, it's like, if you're going to reinvent Post-its or something, I don't know how that's going to work out. So it would really, it would be a case-by-case basis, but I would look at, can he support himself? If I'm going out to dinner, am I paying for him? That would be a problem.
It would be a problem because it would be a turnoff, or it would be like, is there a situation where you really liked a guy and it wouldn't matter?
For sure. But I wouldn't, like, I have this happen all the time with clients that I see that make a lot of money, right? And they end up kind of taking care of the guy, and then it feels like a child, not a partner.
Right.
And so just be like, you know, income doesn't have to be the same, but can he take her out to dinner and can he, you know, buy her flowers and just do some things to show support? That would be all I would need, is like, you know, I don't want to be footing the bill 99.9% of the time.
Right. I would say that I have a similar request, and I feel like as I, in my 20s, it would be a completely different answer.
Oh, totally.
From now, I have kids and, you know, I make my own money as well. But I wouldn't want another child. And that unless there was some way that it was, I guess on the surface level, that's what it would sound like to me. So it would have to be, he's asking how could it be presented differently? So if, as you said, there was this person who's like, listen, I've given up all these things to go back home and do X, Y, and Z. And my plan is in 7 months, I'm going to be doing this. And I'd have to see that drive and passion and intellect that like, mm-hmm. if I was intelligent, I'd also want to meet somebody who was intelligent so that I'd be able to say, yeah, this person can do it. Not yes. to become a multimillionaire, but to do whatever it is that he's passionate about that where he could support himself in some way, or even if I was supporting him, that he would be just like living. I guess that's what I would need on the other side. Do you know, does that make sense what I'm saying? Like
no,
I wouldn't
totally.
Want somebody who like sits at home with his parents, never wants to go out, never wants to do anything. He'd have to add something to my life is what I'm saying, which is the same with most partners. So I think that's what we're all trying to say is like, there has to be something more about you than I live with my parents and that's it. Does that make, I don't know. I'm not really honing in on what I'm trying to say, but I hope that that's coming across correctly.
No, I think it totally is. It's like, how can you show up and be valuable and supportive in her life and show her what you're really made of? And if she can't see past it with your income, then that's an issue and that's okay to move on. But make sure you're upfront about your plan and you're honest and that it's...
Well, can you tell me a little bit more about the women who you worked with who were saying, you know, who are highly successful, who were saying that they got into situations where they felt like they were taking care of the person, whether they had money or not, the guys, what were their main complaints about in terms of taking care of that person? Because I'm trying to like show to men what some of the things that they could offer would be that don't become a drain on women later on down the road.
Yes. So some of the big things I've heard, because I do work with a lot of male and female entrepreneurs, but I work with women who make, you know, $250,000 a year. And what they're looking for is if you can't show up for them financially, at least do other things like support them. I had a friend who her guy stayed home with the kids. Like that was what they'd worked out. It worked for them. But the things that they weren't doing was like you're saying, like they didn't have any passion or drive for anything. They weren't trying to better themselves. They were just kind of getting a free ride. It'd be like, I've heard women say, I would be happy if they didn't do anything as long as they're working on themselves and they helped me as much as they could. Like I have a client who loves that, you know, her guy doesn't make near what she does. He makes a quarter maybe, but he's so good to her. Like he gets dinner, like he picks her up dinner or he makes her dinner. You know, all those little things that add up, like find your lady's love language and make sure you're showing up with it. That you're, like you said, adding value to her life, that you're making her life better. And in some ways, she's obviously making your life better too.
And these are things that you can discuss as well, even in the beginning stages of dating. Because I've talked about this before, but most of my female friends are the breadwinners in their families.
Me too.
Yeah. So, but that's just so interesting. And so I'm thinking of one couple in particular. So she's traveling 3 weeks out of the year and she tries to be the best mom in the entire world that she can be, but she's not there as often as the husband. And he's home. He has his own job and he does things too, but he's not making nearly as much money as she does. But he is constantly planning for their family, planning fun vacations, planning like their backyard. You go out there and there's like four different sections set up for the kids and they can just have the whole afternoon outside and they go to different zones in the backyard. And maybe this is a little bit elaborate sometimes for all the things that he does because he doesn't ever really relax with that stuff. But I know that that is a huge thing to bring to the table. And you can still do that at the beginning stages of relationships. It's not just the taking care of the kids or making the meals for your significant other. There's other things that you can be valuable. And it's just about discussing those things with the person that you're dating so that you can understand her needs and she can understand your needs and what you're both capable of.
Yeah.
I mean, even just having the conversation is showing that you have some value, because most men and women wouldn't be able to have that conversation or even know how to do it.
Yeah. Some of the sexiest things my husband does is like do the dishes when I'm busy. He feeds the aunt, you know, he takes care of so yeah. much stuff. If he knows I have late clients, he'll call and be like, what can I pick you up for dinner? And it's like that,
amazing.
That's huge.
I know there are little things that I think a lot of women think to do naturally there's something in the training of men. I don't know. I just read an article about this recently that was in the New York Times. Sorry that I'm going on a tangent, but it's just like, it's the way that people are brought up. This article was saying that women in general do, even people who work the breadwinner, they do 70% more of like household chores and just nice gestures for their male counterparts. And they interviewed a lot of men, and men are just like, well, I don't really think of those things, or it's not my responsibility. It's kind of hers. So it's just an interesting way that people have been brought up. So I think we have to, hopefully we're doing this now, is helping to educate men on little things that can be done that can show just as much value as a huge paycheck.
Totally. It's just like, I don't know if your users can look up, you know, women porn, but it's like all these guys doing household chores. It's the best.
Oh, amazing.
It's the best. It's
like, go to it right now.
Yeah. Google the images of like, or what's called porn for women. It's so funny. It's like guys in aprons cooking with like a kid on his hip going, babe, I really want to support you while you follow your dreams. You know? And like vacuuming. It's really great.
It. So that's it's crazy. That's Kristen's dream. She would always say like foreplay for her was, you know, putting the dishes away. Okay, yeah. One more question, and then we are going to end our show. Hi guys, my girlfriend and I are looking to have fun with another girl, threesome, but we are not sure how to, number one, identify the correct girl who is willing to do it. Number two, approach her without scaring
back
her.
Tattoo.
Number three, set.
Yeah. I'm out.
That was funny. Number three, set some boundaries so things can be fun without anyone's feelings getting hurt. Thanks for looking and looking forward to your reply. Yes. Does anybody here have any experience with that of being a third?
Well, I was approached to be a third once.
Interesting. Yes. And what made you say yes?
What made me run? That's when I became a runner, just like Tori. Well, it was so strange. I was pretty young. I was 24, I think, and I was waiting tables. And so I was a waitress of this couple. And what's weird to me is that the threesome couple always kind of looks the same. Like they almost look like an SNL sketch of a couple. And like he's usually got a Hawaiian shirt on or something. And, you know, it's just a weird, they're always strange to me. So anyway, this couple was so nice and so talkative. And so at the end, they said, we're staying in this hotel if you want to join us. And because I thought it was fun, like I'm a child, so I kind of giggled and just laughed it off. But they were so comfortable with it and so smooth that it was like they almost made me comfortable with it if I could have been comfortable, which obviously I couldn't have been. But if I could have been, they would have been the couple to do it.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so them being comfortable. Were they flirting with you?
Well, they were just being so nice the whole time. Like I would bring them something and they would start chatting with me. And then, you know, they'd smile at me as I walked by. And so it did start to get a little weird where I was like, there's something going on with these two. Either they're going to murder me or want to have sex with me. Like it's going to be one or the other.
So interesting.
And so
I have never
vibe.
Been propositioned that way.
That's so sadly. Surprising
it's
to
the same-
me.
I have not
too.
Either.
It's the same reason people in Mexico offer me bracelets instead of cocaine. I just have an innocent look. I would walk with my friends on the beach and like everybody else would get offered drugs and I, not one person would offer
well, no
me. Not that I wanted it.
I'm usually you.
Still.
I'm usually you. Usually I'm the dweeb that has no idea that everyone's already done the cocaine tonight.
Right,
and
things.
I'm like, la, la, la. I'm like hanging out with my mom. Like, you know, I bring her along. So, yeah, it's weird.
I know.
Yeah, I've not had this experience, but I definitely work with people who have. And I would say there's two key factors, and it's trust and honesty. So you want to make sure you really trust your partner enough to go into that. And you guys feel strong enough and that you're not looking to do this to save the relationship, because it will usually be the straw that breaks the camel's back.
Oh, for sure.
And then honesty about...
Bad joke. Really dumb.
As long as it doesn't break the relationship, the back is okay. And then with the honesty, the detail in which the honesty has to happen is pretty key. I mean, it has to be like, am I okay to touch here, to do this, to do that? Because you don't know what's going to upset someone. And so I actually encourage couples to sit with each other and go through like a sexual scenario and say, what would you be okay with? What would you not be okay with? And make it very clear. And then also...
I think he was asking more about like how to spot the third. I think that they've already had all of those conversations. Well, are there certain... Do you think that almost everybody would be open to it given the right situation? And what would be that right situation?
The right situation would be agreeing on when to do it. Maybe, I mean, I would probably look out for someone who's not super inside their circle so that they could keep some sanctity in their relationship.
Right.
Because some people do this with friends, right? Or they pull someone in. But if the relationship's already there, then things can get strained. So yeah. Maybe...
I would say I don't really have any experience, as I said, with people coming and approaching me. But
me neither.
I kind of agree with Kristen that I would be more open to people who were super nice and chatty, who I could banter with. That would be really important. Like, because that's, we've talked about this before, but banter, it for me, is an expression of intellect, I think. And if somebody can keep up with me, that like gets my juices flowing, and I would be excited if I had like that back and forth with the girl and the guy, and I would feel excited about stuff. And just putting me into that realm, I could see myself being more open if it was the right time for me to do that. If I was curious and I wanted to express myself, I don't know how to spot the people, but it might be the people. I don't even know. I don't know how to answer this question. Well, I'm so sorry. I should have saved that one for Susan Braddon. She would be a good person to ask that question.
Well, being
to.
That yeah, I am on dating apps, I do see that proposition a lot on Tinder.
Really?
It'll be a guy with a picture of a girl and he'll say, we're looking for a third. And so I think you can easily do it online. Of course, I always swipe left because I'm a prude, but it's there all the time. Right.
Maybe that'll break your trauma.
No, I don't want more trauma. It'll be more trauma.
Or not. It could be an interesting experience. Anyway, Tori, thank you so much for coming on to our show. Do you want to tell people how to get in touch with you if they do want to do some work on their own traumas in identifying them and then helping wiping them clean?
Yes. So you can find me at torihelf.com. That's TORIHELF as in Frank.com, or on Instagram or Facebook at The Transformation Babe.
I love it. And Kristen, your program is now live. Ooh. And this, I know we're recording this a little bit in advance, but it will have been released on Memorial Day. So now you can see how far in advance we record our shows. But I am very excited for this program to be released. I have shown it to about 7 or 8 different coaches and experts. And all of them have said it's like outstanding and the best thing they've ever read for banter. And even one was like, I'm having a hard time believing that this was written by a girl. So that I thought was a huge compliment.
It's a compliment to me. I'll take it.
Yeah, exactly. And this is like a dude thing. And so I was really happy to hear that. So if anybody wants to go check out Kristen's banter program, go to wingirlmethod.com/banterk and you can get access to it. It is a wonderful, wonderful program. And you'll learn how to banter, which, as I just said, banter is... it's the beginning stages of building attraction. For most people, I think you need to be able to do this. You can totally use your intellect in other ways, but this is one easy, fun way to do it. New episodes of the Ask Women podcast come out every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm also posting them on YouTube. They come out on Friday, so you can, I guess, watch. It's not really watching anything, but it's listening to what you're watching on YouTube. Anyway, go on youtube.com/MarnieKinnaris and you can listen to the episodes there. You guys are awesome, and we will see you next week.